So our text for this Easter morning is from Mark chapter 16, these words, "And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Mary Magdalene, Mary and Salome were afraid. They were afraid. They saw the stone rolled back from the tomb, the young man in a white robe. They heard the young man, an angel, say about Jesus, "Do not be alarmed. He's risen. He's not here. Go tell the disciples and Peter, you will see him." Mary Magdalene, Mary and Salome saw and heard these things and in fact were alarmed. They were afraid. And so are we. So are we. We're afraid. We're alarmed. Not by the open tomb, not by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, but we are afraid. We are alarmed by all of the things that we see nowadays and we hear. Now, the alarm, the fear of Mary Magdalene, Mary and Salome occurred. They were frightened because what they found at the tomb was not what they expected. They expected to find a stone rolled in front of the tomb. And when the stone was rolled back, they expected a corpse, a dead body within that tomb. And the dead body of their friend and teacher, Jesus. That is the way, after all, it should have been. But it wasn't that way. So not knowing how to understand what they saw and heard, they were frightened. Not knowing how to understand what they saw and heard, they were frightened. And we're frightened today for the exact same reason. We're frightened for the world is not what it has been in the past. We're frightened because the world is not what we think the world should be. We're frightened because the world theologically is definitely not what it should be. For it's true. There's not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Not a righteous man on earth that does good and never sins. Ecclesiastes 7. So it's no wonder that the economy seems to be in some sort of serious downward trend. The nation of China recently sent a spy balloon, of all things, over the continental U.S. The idea of gender self-determination, gender identity is picking up speed, and state identity is being determined by whether abortion is legal within it or not. Shootings there are aplenty. War in the Ukraine continues to have a lasting effect on the nations of the world. I mean, what's going on? The world itself can be and seems to be more and more and more such a frightening place. Definitely isn't how it should be. But the heart of man is only evil continually. So Genesis chapter 6. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Yeah, sure, the woman at the tomb of Jesus on Easter morning experienced a fear that ultimately proved to be unfounded, for Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. And yes, we know, as those who live daily through faith in Christ, that Jesus lives. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that means that on the last day, when all people who have ever lived are raised again from the dead, we too will be raised and will be taken to heaven to live with Jesus, as the Christmas lullaby, "Away in the Manger," puts it. Certainly that is something to which we can look forward in our future, sometime in the future. But what about now? What about the here and now? What about the here and now? The world has become a frightening place. Well, it indeed has become a frightening place, but only as frightening. The world is only as frightening as we as Christians don't live in the resurrection of Christ from the dead in the here and now. I will repeat that. The world is a frightening place, but it is only as frightening as we as Christians don't live in the resurrection of Christ from the dead in the here and now. That is only to the extent that we do not enjoy the fruits and power of Christ's resurrection from the dead in the here and now. Yes, Christ was crucified for our transgressions, but then he was raised again from the dead for our justification. What does that mean? Luther, in his Easter sermon from long ago, notes, Christ was raised for our justification. Here, Paul turns my eyes away from my sins and directs them to Christ. For if I look at my sins, they'll destroy me. Therefore, I must look to Christ, who has taken my sins upon himself, crush the head of the serpent, and become the blessing. Now, those sins no longer burden my conscience, but they rest upon Christ, whom they want to destroy. Let's see how my sins treat Christ. They hurl him to the ground and kill him. Where is now my Christ and my Savior? But then God appears, delivers Christ, and makes him alive. And not only does he make him alive, but he translates him into heaven and lets him rule over all things. What has now become of sin? There it lies under the feet of Christ. If I then cling to this fact, I have a cheerful conscience, like Christ, because I myself am then without sin. Now I can defy death. Now I can defy the devil and sin and hell to do me any harm. As I am a child of Adam, they can indeed accomplish it that I must die. But since Christ has taken my sins upon himself, Christ has died for them. Christ has died for them. Christ has allowed himself to be crucified on account of my sin, so they can no longer harm me. For Christ is too strong for them. They cannot keep him in death. So he breaks forth. And he overpowers them, ascends into heaven, and rules there over all throughout eternity. Now I have a clear conscience. Now I am joyful. Now I am happy. Now I'm no longer afraid of this tyrant, for Christ has taken my sins away from me, and he has made them his own. But they cannot remain upon him. What then becomes of them? They must disappear and be destroyed. This, then, is the effect of faith. He who believes that Christ has taken away our sin is without sin like Christ himself, and death, the devil, and hell are conquered as far as he is concerned, and they can no longer harm him. So Luther, so long ago. So again, what is the effect of the resurrection upon the here and now, upon those who believe in Christ as their victor over death? A clear conscience, joy, happiness, or in other words, a lack of fear of sin and death and the power of the devil. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Resurrection of Christ, then, is not simply some sort of historical or religious or theological reality. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is the realization of the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death and the devil. And so, our victory over sin, death, and the devil, in the here, in the now. If only we could believe it. If only we could live each day in faith when we hear the words of Christ, take heart, I have overcome the world. If only when we hear the words of Christ that he has overcome the world in his resurrection from the dead, that we would believe it. Because the world is such a frightening place, such a scary place. The world can be such an awful place. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Believe in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Believe in a living Lord and Savior. Believe in the King of all creation at the right hand of God, awaiting the last day when all flesh shall see him. Now, this is not some silly antidote for our fear. It's not simply positive thinking on my part. It's not delusional ranting or some sort of campaign sloganeering. It is instead for all those who believe in Christ as their Lord, Christ as their Savior from sin and death and the devil. our reality in the here and now. And that means, practically speaking, that Vladimir Putin is not the one we must placate. Nor is the Chinese Communist Party that which we must fear. Nor is Wall Street that which we must serve. Or a cabal of left-wing college professors that which we must academically defeat. Or the news media that which we must expose. We must instead take heart in the one who has overcome them all through his suffering and death and resurrection, and that is Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We must live daily by faith. Faith which must simply ignore our feelings and set aside our ability to think, that is our reason, and trust solely in the word of Jesus, our Savior. Realize, the feeling of fear we have in this world is that which cannot go anywhere beyond our senses. It can't go anywhere beyond our senses or our reason. That is, we see something, we hear something, we smell something, we taste something, and we begin to think about it and to reason what it is we are experiencing by means of our senses, and then determine how we should react. So we find so often that what we're feeling is a result of our reason and our senses. What we are feeling is in direct opposition to what faith in Jesus Christ calls us to believe. Faith is, after all, the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And what that means is that our faith in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, his victory over sin and death and Satan, flies in the face. It flies in the face of our feelings based on reason and our senses that sin and death and Satan are still in control. They're not. They're not. Christ has overcome them all. His resurrection from the dead, that is, his breaking out of the bonds of this world, demonstrates that this is so. And if we are united with Christ, as we are through faith in him, we receive the benefits of what he has done. So let us on this Easter learn, as did the women at the tomb, to lay aside our fear of the things in this world that are not what they should be, and rejoice that in Christ we can live even today, right now, in the here and now, this moment, without fear. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.